Okay, we're recording. So we have, so I just want to say the word intern star one more time, just because, but it's because it's not, that's not the way it's going to be anymore, right? It's going to be Mochi.
Yep. Hi there. My new name is Mochi.
So we have Mochi.
Hello.
Hello.
Konnichiwa.
Yep, so... So our new co-host, Mochi, formerly known as Intern Star.
Which reminds me, hello and welcome to the Sandwich Board.
Welcome back to the Sandwich Board. I am the Pickle Bandit.
I'm the Bandita.
I'm Mochi.
And I'm Mike.
All right. And so we're coming back to you. As a, you know, we're trying to do a really quick show. It's the 4th of July, so happy 4th, everybody. And
America.
So, yep, America. And so we're going to start out with a little section, whatever part that we like to call This Week in Pokemon Go. Okay, and this week in Pokemon Go, I think everyone's getting ready for Go Fest that's coming up in, I guess, in a couple of months. Has anyone been playing Pokemon Go lately? I've been playing a little bit more.
I haven't.
Okay, you haven't.
No.
What about you, Bandita?
They made us do these challenges where we have to pick daytime or nighttime to do things, and it's not very realistic for me to pick daytime because I have to work in the day and do stuff, so I picked nighttime.
And yeah, so I've been trying to get myself into it a little bit since I have the, since I have, some time off to do that. So that's what I'm doing. And what have you been doing, Mike?
Well, the new big thing right now are the Shadow Raids. Main thing with the Pokemon Go is the battling. And if you don't want to battle an actual human, across the world, you could battle a in-game enemy, and it's the Team Go Rocket characters. And pretty much they show up in blimps, and they have like these shadow Pokemon that are like real dark and brooding and mysterious. They look like they'd fit perfectly into Zack Snyder's DC universe. So once you beat them up, you can catch them. The new thing, though, is when you beat them, you get this crystal shard.
Okay.
You get enough crystals, you can turn it into a full crystal orb. Now, you use these crystal orbs to attack Shadow Raids. And these are, like, big Pokemon, like, legendaries that are, like, dark and brooding. So you go up to them, you fight them, you get about halfway through the raid, and then they become enraged. They get super beefed up. You can't do any damage to them. They're like invincible. Unless you throw one of those fully formed crystals at them. So you gotta have a couple on hand. But because it's super new, they don't always work. So it's kind of like glitchy. It's a little buggy. It doesn't quite work yet. So, you know, it's kind of the new big thing.
Okay, well, thank you. Great. Well, is it fun? That's the important thing. Is it fun?
Define fun.
Fun is this kind of thing where if you want to play it again. That's kind of what I mean.
Then no.
Here's the problem, Robert. The coins have become so valuable that you never want to spend them. I've never been such a miser than in this day and age of Pokemon Go, when like you're afraid the banks are gonna fail.
Is Pokemon Go like doing cash grabs now?
100%. And not only that, but the company behind the whole thing is losing games left and right and focusing just solely on Pokemon Go now.
They shut down the Harry Potter one, right?
Just that. They're scrapping games that were going to start now, too.
Oh. Well, I mean, what's the point? I mean, if they're making the same game except with a different skin.
Niantic's going out of business?
Not quite, but these sort of things are the things that start taking you down.
Yeah, that happened to Farmville, right? The same thing mm-hmm. happened to Farmville.
I don't know, I'm more of a Webkinz person.
So, I mean, it's all a take on their oldest, one of their older games, which is Ingress, which kind of works on the same thing. It's got a sci-fi theme. And actually, you take over points and you hack them because it's got a computer hacker sci-fi thing. And you know what? The Ingress points are pretty much the same thing as the ghost stops and the gym. So it's just like, it was Ingress with a cuter...
With a Pokemon theme.
Yeah, with a Pokemon theme. And, you know, so, I mean, if that's what they're going to do, then yeah, that's gonna F around and find out time. Okay, well, that has been this week in Pokemon Go. There we go.
Wait, can I do it in my IGN announcer
voice? Okay, go ahead.
And that has been this week in Pokemon Go.
So we've come to our main topic of discussion, which is the 2023 WWE Money in the Bank Premium event, which premiered on Saturday, July 1st on Peacock and on the WWE Network in other countries.
I feel like there should be an asterisk next to premium.
It's premium in the way that gasoline used to be premium.
I think it's more like in the way gasoline costs premium.
So we have the Money in the Bank, which is really supposed to be kind of a way for creative to change directions by bringing in the Money in the Bank, right? Money in the Bank is a literal briefcase. Supposedly with a contract in it. And
you mean money in the contract?
Money in the contract, according to Michael Cole. The money in the contract. You know, and if you win, you can cash that in at any time for the championship of your choice. And so it's supposed to help them change course, you know, throughout the
year. I'll tell you what helps them change course. It's the inflation or deflation of the amount of belts. They're either conserving them into one or else deploying them into many.
Yeah, because recently they split up the title thing. Mike, do you think you can explain how the title thing...
Yeah.
Okay,
so back in the day, we had the WWE Championship and the World Heavyweight Championship. Where was the World Heavyweight Championship from?
WCW.
It was from WCW.
WCW, okay? So they brought that title over, and those were the two big main titles. Now, WWE would do this constant fluctuation between a brand split, where one team was SmackDown, one team was Raw. The Raw people always got the WWE Championship belt, and the SmackDown people always got the scrapes. They were like the weird little kid at the end of the table that no one wanted to like look at. So they got the World Heavyweight Championship. This went on for a while until who was it that won both of them? I know Daniel Bryan won both of them. I know Randy Orton won both of them. And then Orton unified them into the Universal Championship. Now, we had the Universal Championship for a while, But because of this, that means there was no second big belt. And when they did another brand split, they decided to bring back the WWE belt. So the Universal one went to Raw, and the WWE one went to SmackDown. Everything was at peace until the Fire Nation attacked, and people started winning both belts again. Most notably, the Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns.
Tribal Queef.
The Tribal Queef, yes.
Oh my gosh!
So Reigns had both belts for a while, and this caused the exact same problem that there was before. You have both belts on one person who's only defending, like, every other pay-per-view. So it's like, where's the action for, like, a title belt, you know? So they decided to pool the... They decided to pool the World Heavyweight Championship out of the Universal.
Right.
And then they gave Reigns a separate belt just to have, I guess, because he's been, like, champion for a million years. So now Reigns, yeah. So now Reigns has three belts: the WWE Championship, his Tribal Queef belt, and the Universal Championship, which has been completely hollowed because the Universal was the World Heavyweight and the WWE. But now both of those belts are pulled out of it. So I have no idea what the Universal one is, like a hollow husk of what it was before. Anywho, they put the World Heavyweight on Rollins after he won, like, a gauntlet competition. And, yeah.
And that's where we are. Did you, everybody get that? Did we hold on.
I think even our one fan of the show could probably tell us even more about the Intercontinental title and the U.S. Championship. All these other things that are gone. Then the 24/7 stupidity. Let's not forget that. And various women and diva things.
I forgot about the 24/7 belt.
I could tell you right now, I'm so glad, at least for once, nobody mentioned that the Intercontinental title was first held by Bob Backlund. Because they say that every flippin' time. So I am thankful that no one said that this time around. All right, so let's go ahead and get to the card. So the opening match was, and I got the card in front of me.
It's the men's Money in the Contract match.
Also known as the latest episode of Botchamania.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it was rough.
Logan Paul was like botchy as heck.
It was botches left and right.
And not just botches, but yeah, go ahead.
He like botched so much that he cut his shoulder.
No.
Right, he did. There was a somersault.
I feel sympathetic for him.
I feel sympathetic for wrestling. Yeah, I feel bad for everybody that was around Logan Paul because everybody had to tap dance around Logan Paul to make sure that, one, they didn't hurt him, and two, they didn't hurt themselves. So everything was very awkward.
And then he hurt himself anyway, so.
Right. Mm-hmm. And at the end of it. So any highlights on that? I mean, really, I paid up attention to it like, meh. Damian Priest won. So that's all I'm going to say is Damian Priest won, Archer of Infamy.
I call Damian Priest the edgy boy.
Edgy boy.
Edgy boy.
Right. So he's...
Boy with an eye.
The boy with the eye. All right.
Edgy boy.
It was interesting to see Priest win because there is, like, a lot of story elements you can do with the Judgment Day.
Okay.
The odds favorite was L.A. Knight. But for some reason, they decided to not give it to him.
You mean Vince?
Yeah.
He's not over enough, you know. Vince has to really get him over.
Yeah, even though LA Knight is, you know, the biggest thing since sliced bread, everyone loves him, everyone wanted him to win, didn't happen.
Kudos to Tripp's guy in there, Damian Priest. These NXT, they're getting their I guess, what was always supposed to come to them for all the hard work that they did.
Yeah, pretty much.
For the company and loyalty.
Yeah,
no, I mean, in that sense, like, I think Priest definitely does deserve it because he was handled poorly when he went up from NXT to, like, the main roster. It really seemed like they just wanted to bring him up because he's big, because Vince saw how big he was, and they didn't know what to do. But the Judgment Day, that's a great storyline. That's a great little faction that he's found himself into.
Yeah, and it fits with his, you know, with his gimmick, and that's fine. They were pushing him. Like I said, I watched NXT quite a bit in 2020, and I think they're finally continuing with the push that they were giving him, you know, before they had to shut down live shows. So they're kind of getting back on track with Priest, even though, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Okay. So next match. Next match is the, oh my goodness, it's one
I believe it's the women's tag team match.
Oh, the women's tag team match between Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan and
Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey.
Thank you very much.
Ronda Rousey was wearing a cringe outfit. She had like a Vegeta themed outfit, like from Dragon Ball.
Yeah, Ronda Rousey was decked out in a Vegeta from Dragon Ball Z inspired outfit. Pretty much she was wearing Vegeta's armored bra, and she had the Majin logo on her forehead.
She looked like a weeaboo.
Yeah, she looked like a weeb 100%. My issue with it is that when Vegeta went Majin, he wasn't wearing that armor. He was just wearing his blue sweatpants and like an A-liner.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
He was just chilling. He had the gloves and the boots. He didn't have that armor. So it's like, well, you're not even like,
she didn't watch it.
Now, what I found interesting, I was trying to figure out, was it painted on or was it a sticker? We later found out that it was a sticker because it started peeling off of her forehead.
Maybe it was a temporary tattoo.
That'd be great. But yeah. No, overall, it was like a really solid match. It was very refreshing after the weird botches in the men's Money in the Contract match. We had that big twist ending that set up a Baszler versus Rousey match, which is like battle of MMA people. One of them was pushed in way too early, underbaked Ronda Rousey when she first came in. And the other one got a great chance to marinate and cook in NXT. And
The story is, I think Rousey wants out and she wants to go out feuding with Baszler.
Okay, yeah, and but here's the thing. I heard she's might go back in the UFC now that Amanda Nunes is out. Right? How bad can you be? How can you be the baddest woman on the planet if the person that beat you is now stepping away and now you're like, how does it look? And now you're going in back in.
It doesn't even matter if she wins or loses, though. That's just, you know, that's a big money grab. You gotta look at that in the business sense,
I guess. All right. So then next on the card, what we got next on the card?
Next, it was Gunther's match with that Riddle.
So we have Gunther, the ring general, versus the Material Bro. Not the Material Bro. I don't know what the heck they call him.
The Original Bro?
The Original
Bro. The Material Bro.
Material Bro.
The material bro.
Matt, riddle me this, Batman. Who shows up to the ring in short shorts and no socks or shoes?
Material bro.
It's the material bro.
Material bro.
It was, you know, it was a solid match. It, ending very, you could see the writing on the walls. You already know, like, Gunther's not going to drop the title at Money in the Bank when he's had, like, such a successful run, and he's really rejuvenating the IC championship, you know? This is, like, a solid storyline. But at the end of the match, after Gunther pinned Riddle, the
Scottish psychopath,
is that what he goes by? Like,
he didn't bring his sword with him.
No, he didn't bring a sword. He was just wearing jeans. Like, he was just like at the concession stand right before. Like, I'm not even sure if he had clearance to be back there. He wasn't in any ring gear. He just walked up.
Some Levi jeans.
Yeah, Levi jeans and like a black shirt. It was very, yeah. It was two sizes too small.
It might have also been a temporary tattoo.
Yeah.
So you have
Drew McIntyre.
Drew McIntyre. The second MB of 3MB. And then, yeah, so he comes out, and so that's... But you know what? I think the Intercontinental Championship was meant to be held for a long time by a heel. I mean, some of the best, or at least for a long time, think about it. Honky Tonk Man held it for, like, ever, and it was great. It was a great run. And, you know, thinking about that, it might be just one of those things where it's meant to be held for a long time.
Honky Tonk Man had the icy title, and then he hit someone in the head with a guitar. True story.
With a real guitar.
With a real guitar.
Whoa. Whoa.
Yeah, no, and it's interesting seeing McIntyre pop up because, you know, there's some interesting things with his contract, whether or not it's going to get renewed, if he's going to, like, stick with WWE. It's just kind of, like, up in the air. But this definitely cements that he wants, like, a storyline going with, like...
They were in Europe. So.
Yeah, that's also true.
Right. I mean, we failed to mention that. I mean, the show was in London, which hasn't happened in a long time. I mean, they've done shows in London, but they haven't done, like, a big event in London in a long time.
Well, we knew it was going to happen because Michael and I had been watching YouTube, and he found, like, you know, they do, like, advertisements, little things here and there.
Right.
Seth Rollins and Triple H trying... English food and food from the U.S. deciding which is better.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was Snack Wars. I think it was Sport Bible, I want to say. That's
promotional stuff.
Who did it. Which would make sense because they were already there. So, you know, they had them come in. They tried UK snacks and dishes versus American ones. The product placement was palpable. They each had KFC chicken and Prime, and they both chose the KFC chicken and Prime over the UK alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's cool. Yeah, so, and then coming in after the Intercontinental match, is that when John Cena comes back?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, so we have, like, what passes for a seven-inning stretch, and we have John Cena making a big return, not to wrestle, but just to kind of pump up the crowd.
Yeah, bringing some star power.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just try and get them rowdy. He was just in the neighborhood, happened to show up, you know. Was really trying to test the waters if they wanted to have WrestleMania in the UK. Was really pushing for that.
I think that was a big part of it. And then
it's highly unlikely though.
Yeah, it is. Then we have the Grayson Waller. Is that his name is? Grayson Waller?
Grace, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Australian dude.
Yeah, the Australian dude. He's got, you know, he's a heel. He's got kind of like a talk show segment. And he came up and, talked stuff about John Cena and, you know, that kind of thing. And John Cena.
They don't say John Cena sucks over there.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah.
We said it through the TV screen.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're in America. Different.
We know that John Cena sucks. It's our patriotic right and duty to chant that John Cena sucks.
Well, it's our right to have the freedom to do so.
Fourth of July much?
Yeah. So Grayson Waller gets attitude adjustment, and, you know, everyone, you know, goes to the bathroom happy. And speaking of going to the bathroom, we have the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match, which was awesome.
Wait, hold up.
Hmm.
What does that have to do with going to the bathroom?
Because...
And when does the Cody Rhodes thing happen?
The Cody Rhodes thing happens before, I want to say. I want to say Cody did his match before. Then it was the women's money in the contract. Okay. Then it was Rollins's match.
Okay. So.
And then they ended it with...
But Civil War. But that was just my comment about how like people would like to go to the restrooms in the stands like during the women's matches, which kind of sucks.
People?
Yeah, people in the stands. Not us. Like people in the stands.
I mean like dudes.
Yeah, like dudes.
Wow.
Well, Cody's match with Dominic Mysterio was a thing. It happened. I checked out during it. I'm going to be real. It happened right in front of me, but I can't really remember a interesting thing about it. It was very straightforward. Mommy was there, which was fantastic. Yeah, maybe what? That's why I wasn't paying attention, no, actually.
Wait, they said funny things.
Oh yeah. When Dominic was entering the ring, Wade Barrett was doing the heel announcer thing, and he was talking about Dominic's deadbeat dad, Ray. That's what he called him. He said, Dominic's deadbeat dad, Ray. You're like, what is the Rey Mysterio? Is he a deadbeat? One. Two.
Dominic's he's a grown an adult.
Why does he need his deadbeat dad? Like, it's over. Like, you can't be a deadbeat dad if the bird already flew out of the coop. Like, you can't. It's impossible. It's illogical.
So it was pretty predictable. I mean, you know, Dominic tried to take him head on because there's no way you'd be Cody and head on. And so he did that sort of thing, kind of tried to do rope-a-dope. Rhea also intervenes, Rhea Ripley, but eventually, you know, Cody actually beat somebody for a change.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, so Dominic thought it was going to be easy pickings because Cody had his arm in a cast after it was, and I'm putting quotation marks, broken by Brock Lesnar. Little did Dominic know that arm was healed, almost like it was never broken to begin with. That arm was healed.
If only he didn't have a deadbeat dad and he would have taught him, learned him. That a cast doesn't mean something's broken.
He's a Hall of Famer. How can he be a deadbeat dad? Like, I'm so...
That's an adult. It's so like saying confusing. I'm a deadbeat mom.
That's
and you're
so,
an adult.
So confusing.
How am I a deadbeat mom? You're an adult.
Dominic's deadbeat dad, that's Ray. Funny. What?
It's what funny when do? He says Dominic like, anything too, because my brother Dominic.
And so Cody gets the win on that, and then of course we have the Money in the Bank.
Money in the contract. Yes, I was going to add that we have the Money in the Contract women's match, but as soon as I saw the referee, I noticed that she had green eyeshadow, and me being me. And half paying attention and whatever, with my sarcastic voice, I was like, oh wow, green eyeshadow. That's a choice.
Yeah, and there was a couple odd botches by Michael Cole during this match. He called it the Money in the Contract.
Yes,
which
and
is
he also said he said Zelina
Vega.
Yeah,
instead of
Vega.
Zelina Vega, he called her Zelina Vega. Now it might have been a long night. He was, you know, it was him and Wade the whole time for the entire pay-per-view. Normally with other ones they'll shift around. Might have been jet lag.
It could have been, yeah.
Could have been a couple things.
Deserves the jet lag.
Aww. But, yeah, no, Michael Cole was not doing too well on this pay-per-view. But I'll take Michael Cole at 50% over Pat McAfee any day.
No, Wade Barrett was funny.
Yeah, Wade Barrett's great. And a perfect addition for this pay-per-view since it's in London. Now, the women's Money in the Contract match was great. They had some very interesting spots, some original things. You had, like, a lot of veterans. You had the only one that really needed, like, you to watch out for was Trish Stratus, just because, you know, she's a little older. But she's, like, a veteran. She knows what to do. And in, like, really messy situations, you could see that she was on the sidelines, not in the middle of it, like Io Sky's big moonsault off the top of a ladder. Did not partake in that one, which is totally fine. But she did take some bumps, though, with that being said, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, and they didn't have to tiptoe around anybody like they had to tiptoe around Logan Paul.
Yeah.
And that was a big difference. Everyone looked a lot more comfortable.
Yeah.
Around each other, and that helped a lot.
Yeah, and you know, you have like some real strong veterans, like Stratus, but you also have Becky Lynch, you have Bayley there, you have Io Sky, who's like very comfortable with high-flying maneuvers, you have Zelina Vega, who's also a bit of a high flyer, but also very light. So if she is jumping off of something, you can catch her easily. And then you have the one that's under Stratus's.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking
about. Wing. I totally forget her name.
I'll look it up, but it was Zoe Stark.
Zoe Stark.
Yeah. So Zoe Stark is, she was great.
I didn't know she existed.
She's coming from NXT.
Yeah, she's a little too new for my brain to remember. But yeah, no, overall, I really enjoyed it. It really blew the men's Money in the Contract match out of the water.
Oh, big time. It was very competent, and I actually paid attention through all of it. So, congratulations to them. And Io Sky, deservedly, just like Damian Priest, wins the Money in the Contract. And... because she's been working kind of the same trajectory that Damian Priest has been on. So good for them and good for her. So awesome. And so that brings us to the World Heavyweight title match between Seth Rollins and Finn Balor. This was supposed to be a grudge match in a championship match because 7 years ago, Finn Balor had won the Universal title, the first person to win it, and unfortunately he had to give it up the day after the Raw because Seth Rollins buckle bombed into the barrier and dislocated his shoulder, and so Balor didn't have that push 7 years ago.
Rollins buckle bombed the WWE out of Balor and Sting in a row. Now, this would have been a fantastic storyline, an incredible match, if it happened immediately when Finn Balor was cleared, when he came back from medical leave. But no, it's been 7 years, and this finally happened. The real question that was on all of our heads was, who was going to Sling Blade who first? And who was going to Blockbuster the other second? Because those are two just go-to moves for both of them. They do it all the time.
Right. And it was fine. It was competently done. It's nothing that we hadn't seen before. And yeah,
Finn Balor should have a grudge match with Vince McMahon instead of with Seth Rollins.
Yeah. But, you know, for the storyline, Rollins had some injured ribs, which were the target of Finn, especially with his finisher being the coup de grace.
Coup de grace. That's what Michael Cole said it was coup de grace.
Yeah, he called it the coup de grace.
Coup de grace.
So, you know, taking one of those would probably spell the end for Rollins's title run. But as Rollins has said, he wants a long run with this title. And it looks like it's still intact.
Right. And of course, this forwards what you said about Damian Priest and, you know, the Judgment Day. Because Damian Priest comes out near the end of the match with the Money in the Bank contract that you just won, and he sits down ringside, and he's a distraction, not only to the Seth Rollins, but he's also a distraction to Finn Bálor. And Rollins capitalizes on that and ends up defeating Finn Bálor, and that also creates a bigger rift between Bálor and Damian Priest. So that's going to forward that, you know, in the future. So, but Seth Rollins retains. And that brings us to the final match, the Bloodline grudge match, whatever.
It's called the Civil War. I don't understand why you can call it a Civil War when it's just 2v2. Like, you know, I get it when it's like Avengers Civil War, because then it was like, I don't know, 6 versus 6. Like, yeah, that, okay, I can see that, right. You know. But this is just two people versus two people with Paul Heyman in between, just covered in belts. So many belts. He's drowning in belts.
Light in the sky. Put a belt on Paul Heyman.
Because, like, even though they gave Roman the belt, which you would think would just unify the Universal and the WWE, no, they just gave him another belt. So he's got three that he just carries around and then gives them all to Paul Heyman. And it looks like someone, like, taking their earrings off and their necklaces and all their rings before they're about to fight. They're just, like, giving it to their friend.
Yeah, Paul Heyman pretty much with so many belts, he basically looks like a Final Fantasy character, like ringside. And
well, I think I have it.
Yeah.
It was the Civil Infinity War of Paul Heyman, of the multiverse of Paul Heyman.
Oh, okay.
Got it?
Yes.
All right, as long as you know.
And so we have this really long protracted match between the Usos versus Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa. And, you know, pretty much went how you thought it would go. It was kind of slow. It was kind of plodding, you know. And then you got to the end of it. And at the end, eventually Roman gets pinned for the first time in over 3 years.
Yeah.
By, was it Jay? Jay does it.
Yeah, it was Jay to kind of further cement that ongoing rivalry. I believe it was Jay that didn't want to submit to Reigns in the first place, but then begrudgingly accepted him as the tribal chief. There was a funny moment in the middle of the match where Roman is like on ringside and like Paul Heyman's giving him a pep talk,
right.
And Paul Heyman tells Roman, do you want that guy in there telling your kids what to do? Your kids will go to him. He will be at the head of the table. And Roman's like, no, my children. Then he like gets mad. He's like,
suffering, succotash.
Yeah.
You're going to be playing my little teapot.
I do love the concept of Solo Sikoa feuding with his brothers only because there's like an 8-year age gap. And, like, any toy Solo would get is, like, a hand-me-down, not just from one brother, but from another one, too. So it's, like, that's awful. A double hand-me-down that's, like, 8 years old. Oh, terrible. When he's 8, they're 16. They're probably making him do, like, really weird things, like crawl into holes and, like, get stuck in places, you know? I could see it. And he's just got all this pent-up resentment. You watch that match, Solo was giving them headbutts. Like, you're like, that came from somewhere. That came from some resentment.
I think Solo got his last name because he was alone.
Yeah, he was alone because there's an 8-year gap between him and both his brothers. And they're twins, too. So it's not like they're going to, like, choose Solo over one another. They're playing kickball. They're going on the same team. Solo's getting picked last.
All right. And so that's how it ends. It ends with great insight, guys. It ends with Roman Reigns getting pinned. And and the Usos winning. No, there was no title change. It was just basically a grudge match. But, you know, obviously this is the beginning of the end. It's going to end somewhere. We don't know where it's going to end, but it's going to end somewhere now. Okay, so that's pretty much it. Any more thoughts on this before we wrap things up?
Money in the contract.
Money in the contract. Okay. Anything else?
Money in the contract.
Okay. Bandita.
Put a light in the cloud.
You broke the money in the contract, Chase.
Okay, so... Well, so that's it for this episode, and so I just want to say thanks for listening, and I am the Pickle Bandit.
I'm Bandita, and if you want to know about putting the light in a cloud, you need to watch the YouTube John Batman put a light in a cloud.
I'm Mike, technically Michael Domus, because I totally called Damian Priest using that money in the bank to create a storyline with Finn Balor further. I totally called it.
I'm Mochi.
All right, and we hope you are not bored listening to the sandwich board. Goodbye.
Sayonara.